topic we're doing today is debatably the most important chapter in the Arei Shor, and almost certainly the most learned chapter in the Arei Shor. This is one of those chapters that when someone has a particular topic they want to speak about, everyone says, have you read the fifth perek of the Arei Shor? And they go, no, I haven't. What is the fifth perek? And even people who haven't learned any other part of the Sefer, they've learned this chapter, because this, as you'll see, is one of the most crucial factors, chapters there is. Kol hanimtza tukufam mushechet makom Torah. Anyone who's been a period of time in a yeshiva knows very well that there are some times when he's on a high and he's learning well and everything is going well, and there are some times where he's at a low, and it transforms back and forth. There are high times and low times, invariably changing. Bizman aliyah, when things are going well, he feels hatzlacha in his learning. He understands quickly, things are easy for him to chap. He feels that he has questions, he's able to give answers. When he comes to daven, he feels he's able just to recognize that he's talking to Hashem and have kavana in davening. And even the way that he connects to his friends, he feels it's enjoyable, he's able to schmooze, he's able to have social interaction, everything is smooth. However, there are other times where he feels everything is going wrong. He feels that he's just not chapping, he's not clearly understanding, he feels blocked up, he's not asking any good questions, davening feels a burden to him. And even with friends, he doesn't feel like investing, he doesn't feel like that same sense of enjoyment to be around friends. This concept of a person having periods of time where they're more connected in all areas and periods of time where they're off in all areas is something which appears, and if you would read this, you wouldn't know how far back it goes. But this is Rabbeinu Tam, or at least the book Sefer HaYashar, which we think was written by Rabbeinu Tam. And this is what he writes. And this is true in yeshiva, but you'll see in life that this is true not just for yeshiva. This is true for any major investment that you have. It might be marriage, it might be your work, your job. It's definitely true in yeshiva. Whenever you start to do, this is the words of Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer HaYashar. Whenever you start getting involved in this particular endeavor, if you're enjoying it, you'll have more pleasure in doing it further. Because that's the way that when you have pleasure in doing it, you have an initial love, an initial connection, an initial desire to invest in it more. But that doesn't last forever. And after a certain period of time, says Rabbeinu Tam, that initial love will be removed, and you'll feel, you won't have that same joy or pleasure towards it. You may even feel upset with it in your heart. And after a time, that feeling of being upset and frustrated with that which you're involved in will also pass, and your enjoyment and excitement about this thing will return again. And it will go back and forth. There will either be one or the other. Now, here is where you can take control of the matter, says Rabbeinu Tam. If you have seichel, and you realize that this matter is not out of your control, that you're acted upon, but rather you are initially acted upon, but you are able to take control of what's happening. And when you're having pleasure, you work on it and you enjoy it. You can build the good days. And there is a way of minimizing until they almost vanish, the bad days. Im lo yeh lo sechel tov, if you're not thinking straight and you don't use your mind, and you don't make an avoda out of this topic that we're describing now, then there'll be pleasure sometimes, there'll be confusion other times, and the pleasurable days will go down and down, and the horrible days, the days of frustration, will grow and grow. How do you take control? What can you do about this matter that the good days can last longer and be more powerful, and the frustrating days will be less? When the good days come, if you recognize that it's not necessarily going to last unless you make an avoda about it, and you recognize that this is a time where you can invest, and you invest in it fully, you say, I'm at a high now, let me write chidushim, let me learn more powerfully than I would normally learn, let me take, I can recognize kavana and davening is easier for me, I'm in a good flow, let me take on a project in that and find a particular bracha that I want to work on. my social interactions with friends, I feel like really connected now. Let me like do a chesed activity together with other friends. And when the good days come, you jump on it. And you make a big deal out of it. And you chop that opportunity which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent you of a smooth time where you're high functioning in every area. And you take the opportunity, it will build and build and build and it will last longer. However, there are some people who when the bad days come, they like to make a big deal out of that. Meaning, just to pause there a second, obviously within the positive side, when the low days come, the response has to be, this is passing, I know that it happens, I don't have to make a big deal of it, I don't have to like ask why is this happening to me, what did I do to deserve this, how long is it going to... Just don't make a big deal, just realize that these things happen, it's going to pass and it'll pass, and by you not playing it up and not making a big deal out of it, then it plays off you, you know? A little bit like a bully. If you have a bully who comes and says, I'm going to hit you, I'm going to beat you up, and you go, no, 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 and you start making a big deal, then he says, oh, this is a weak guy, I have control over him. And then he starts coming and I'm threatening even more and more because he realizes, I have power here. When those bad days come, if you get all nervous and anxious and what does this mean and why is this happening and what did I do, and then you're in a sense telling the bully, I'm a target. And it's turning it into a big deal. But if you just recognize this is normal, these things happen to everyone, and it will pass, and you allow it to pass without turning it into a big deal, then it will pass without making a big fuss. It will be calm and it will pass. But people who have the wrong perspective of this, what do? When something not their way comes along, they make a big deal out of it. And they say, I'm in a depression now and this is happening and this plus the fact that 2 years ago my dog died and I'm putting everything together, and they start adding things and adding other things and connecting things that aren't even relevant anymore, but it's a big deal. And they start telling this one and telling that one and telling that one. And if you listen to their tone of voice, it's not that they're telling people because they want to say, I just need to get this off my chest so that I can go back to being healthy again. Rather, they're telling to, in a sense, like, justify why they're not putting in effort. This happened and that happened and it's his fault and that one's fault, and they're trying in a sense to justify why I don't have to put in work, and if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing in yeshiva, you know why? Because that chavruta and because that other person and because of I had expected when I came that this would be something and it didn't happen and the corona, and you start like making up all things, and you can tell that it's coming from a place of excuse. It's coming from a place of not wanting to take responsibility. Then what you're saying essentially is, I'm enjoying these bad days. I mean, I'm not enjoying it in the sense of enjoying it that it's good for me and it's enjoyable. But I'm enjoying that I have some excuse here why not to have to put an effort. And then you make a big deal, and the more you invest in it, then the longer it lasts. You empower it. You choose which side to empower. So let me just make it very, very clear. Good days come not because of you. Bad days come not because of you. Every person has times where they go through a flow where it's much better for them. Every person goes through a time where they have bad days, irrespective of what they did or what happened, it's irrelevant. It's like the tide. The tide goes up and the tide goes down. It's like the moon. The moon is sometimes full and the moon is sometimes empty. It's a flow of up and down. So that's not in your control. That's not in your control at all. There'll be times where you're more focused and more attuned, davening with more kavana, friends is more easy. There'll be times that you just don't feel as connected. That's out of your control. Don't worry about it. Now, how you relate to it is your control. And if you relate to it by taking the good days and making a big deal of them and emphasizing them and investing in them, those will become your main times. And it could even get to the point where the low days become so insignificant that you don't even notice. It's like one afternoon where you're not feeling up to it, but you still push through and everything's okay. But for someone who the bad days are bad days, then when he's feeling a bit not well... You know, when someone's not feeling well in yeshiva, how long does he not feel well for? How sick does he feel? It depends how his yeshiva's going. it depends how his yeshiva's going. If someone has a sneeze, right? Someone coughed. Okay, so he coughed. So what does a cough mean? So it depends. If you're learning well in yeshiva, a cough is irrelevant. You didn't even notice. You coughed and you move on. If yeshiva's not going well and you're tired and your chavrus is not really working out and you coughed, oh, I'm not feeling well. 3 days in bed. I'm not feeling well. I had a cough. I think I may have had a headache as well. And like, So how long you stay in the room will just depend on how, it's nothing to do with your health, it's how your shiva is going. So if you make a big deal out of the negative, then that becomes your world. That becomes the way you relate. That becomes who you are to a degree, you know? At least you play that side up. That is your control. There will be times people feel sick, there will be times people feel low. But that's fine. You just say, this happens to everyone. This is something which is passing. I don't have to make a big deal out of it. When I'm back on track again, I'll reconnect and everything will be fine. And that is the secret. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam writes. That is the secret of Yemei Ahava v'Yemei Sina v'Yeush. That's the name of the chapter here. And you can understand why this is one of the most important chapters in Aleichot. Because it's the secret of success in yeshiva and in marriage. And probably in many other areas as well, professions and other things. But in those two areas, yeshiva and marriage, someone has an awareness of this pattern and recognizes that it's in your, that the fact that there are ups and downs is not in your control. But the fact that you can choose which to harp on and build and invest in that is in your control and that will determine the future that is in your control. If you have this principle laid down clearly early on in life, you can save a year, 2 years, a lifetime in yeshiva. You can save a marriage. You can save a whole perspective of how you'll raise your children, of how you'll relate to world events. Yemei Ahava, Rabbeinu Tam calls it, the days of love. Or Yemei Sina V'Yeyush, or the days of hatred, and then that leads to giving up hope. So he continues and he says, now that we've revealed the secret to you, says Rabbeinu Tam, perhaps, Miyuchas Rabbeinu Tam, says, now I've revealed the secret to you of the love and the hate. Now, you have to recognize that when you start Avodas Hashem, there will always be a battle between these two sides. Sometimes the love will overpower and sometimes the hate will overpower. And therefore, you always have to be aware that this is a process that takes place. And when the good days, the love days come, invest in them. And when the other days come, just ride it out. And you will be able to strengthen whichever side you choose to. Don't be upset when it goes down. Just know that it's passing. Use your intelligence. Use your seichel. And if you use your seichel, then when you see that the hard days are coming, then don't give up everything. Don't pause entirely, says Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you pause entirely, it's going to be hard for you to get back into the flow again. So if you see that you're going through a time where you're not feeling well, you have a headache, you're just not connected as well, it could be that you heard some terrible news and then that's hard for you to refocus. Don't stop. Maybe you can take it a little bit easy, but don't stop. Don't say, I need to take a break. I'll take a break and then I'll come back. It'll be much easier for you to say, I'll lessen, but I'm still connected. And then I'll be able to reconnect again. Let me give a couple of mashalim for that. If you're playing basketball, yeah, so if you're dribbling the ball, then you can dribble high or you can dribble low. But if you stop entirely, you've lost the momentum. So if you dribble low, it's very easy to go back and get it high again. Because you were keeping the movement going the whole time. But if the ball stops, and now for you to pick it up and start bouncing and get a rhythm going is a much bigger deal. So if you're at a time where you're bouncing high and it's going well, and you feel like you don't have that same energy anymore, so you just continue bouncing at a low level, that's fine. Ride that period through, but just keep moving. Don't stop moving. Then you can keep the movement going again. That's an example in basketball. An example I personally had back in the day, when I learned to drive, I don't know if anyone has ever heard of this, but there used to be three pedals. It was the, yeah, anyone knows that? No one? You did it with three?
Yeah.
Oh, who else? Oh, fantastic. All the English boys. Yeah. Fantastic. In America, they never knew there were three pedals. But there once upon a time, there were three pedals. So there's the one of the accelerator, and there's the one of the brake, and there's another one. And the other one, you have to get a real careful balance of getting exactly the braking point where you have just the accelerator going and you have the, I forgot the clutch is called, and the clutch movement, because if you, the accelerator is too much, you'll move and you don't want to move because you're a traffic light, a robot, there we go for Ben, a robot, and if you get the clutch down too much, then you're going to stall and the car's going to stop working. So what do you do when you're driving towards a traffic light, a junction, and there's no other cars in front of you, but it's red? What do you do? So the one option is to keep going at a fast pace and then stop the car, and then wait for it to turn green. But you don't want to do that on a manual car, because then you're going to have to stop the car, figure out where the braking point is, hold it there and right in balance, and then chug along slowly until you get movement. Whilst the guy who was behind you in the next lane, while you're like, getting moving, he just, it's turned green just now, right? So he just zooms past you. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to drive fast and stop. Because then it's going to be a big deal to get the car moving again. So what do you want to do if there's no other cars in front of you? Ahead of time, you start going slower. You start going slower. And the best feeling is there's someone else in the other lane who's stopped. Well, you're the other guy, right? And then the light turns green, and just as you come through, and you had to slow down, of course, because it may not have been green when you got there. You had to slow down, but then it turns green, and zoom, and you fly through. And he's like, where did you come from? And he's like getting his car going. It's a great feeling. That's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. That when you're having a red light in front of you, and you can see that things aren't going the way you want them to go right now. So what do? You could go up to the light and stop. But then what's going to happen? When you're feeling into it again, you've already acquired habits of sleeping in and not learning and doing other things, and then I have to come back. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but if you've been out of the Beis Medrash for a bit, and then sometimes I've seen people that they come to the door of the Beis Medrash and they even feel a little bit uncomfortable to step in. Like, I haven't been in the Beis Medrash for a while. Everyone in there is learning, and they've had this flow of learning the whole time. And I've been out of it for a couple of days, feeling sick in my room. And now, like, should I go in? I've been out for a little bit now to go in. And then eventually you build up the courage and you go in, and everyone's in the middle of a sugya, and you kind of sit down. What sugya are we learning? And it's uncomfortable a little bit. You know, you have to get back into the flow. But if you're wise, and ahead of time, you say, okay, I'll slow down. I'm not stopping entirely. Maybe I'm not learning as much bi'yun. Maybe I'm not keeping up the pace as much, but I'm still connected, I'm still involved. Then when you're able to move again and you're feeling back in your spirit and you're able to fly, that's the advice of Rabbeinu Tam. Even when you're feeling low, Labal Yaniach Kol Maaseh, don't stop entirely. You have to keep the momentum going. So now the Ali Shor comments on that, and he says, the Sefer Yashar here has delineated for us the entire pattern of what happens in Yeshiva specifically, and Avodas Hashem in general. This is true not only in Yeshiva, it's true ones Avodas Hashem throughout their life. Throughout one's life, they'll have moments where they feel much closer to Hashem. And sometimes it's very random. It's not necessarily when Pesach comes and Yom Ha'aretz comes. It could be at a very random Teves day or a Cheshvan day. But there was no special Yom Tov happening. But Dafka Taka, it just suddenly got a tefillah where you felt more connected, or you have a sugya you're in, where you really get into the sugya and you can't explain it for any reason. There's no reason why you can explain why you're connected. You just feel connected. You just feel your learning is going better, your davening is going better. And you don't have to find reasons. You don't have to find, oh, this is because for lunch yesterday I brought an extra orange juice and I drank it. And that's what. Don't look for reasons. It's a natural flow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. There's a flow that Hashem gives of time's going better and time going worse. But when you notice that it comes, you can determine how long it's going to last. You can harp on it and pick up on it and get excited and learn more and connect to it, and something you wanted to take on which wasn't going so well at a different time, take it on now. You can see you're successful now. Take on whatever you can take on. Share it with others. Share your enthusiasm. Use that time of Avodas Hashem. It's very natural. It's very natural that even if you have a high time, it will pass. And you don't have to be upset about that. People get depressed about the fact that they're not on the same high. And what they get upset about is not the fact they were on a high, it's trying to understand why the high passed. Now they have a whole extra issue to be worried about now. They have the issue number one, that they're not on a high level as they were until now. So that's normal, that's natural. But then they're saying, but I don't understand why it happened. Like, what's frustrating me now is, like, why was I on a high? I'm not on a high now. And then, in theory, the high could have come back. But they're still worked up about the fact of, why didn't I keep it going the whole time? And why didn't I keep the flow? Relax. You don't have to worry about that. That's not your agenda. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way that He made the world. There are times where you're connected and times where you're less. You should never say to the question, but why have I lost the enthusiasm now? I'm not talking about someone who has lost it to a point where they're not connected and they've disconnected for a long period of time and they're out of action. That's something else. There they've actually lost the flow entirely. When someone's in yeshiva and they're able to keep it going, we're talking about a period of a few days or a couple of weeks where they're not feeling on the same level they were until now. No, that's natural. You should know that that's part of the natural flow of yeshiva and of life and of marriage and of every flow, of every relationship with the wife or with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to give up hope. You don't have to be upset about the fact that you may sin come. But don't stop learning entirely. Relax on yourself. But keep connected. B'chol mechir, whatever it takes. Even if you're sick in bed and you can't focus, but for a few minutes a day, open the sugya that you're in, and do a little chazara on the last thing that you did, just to stay involved in the loop. Just remain connected the whole time. Don't break that flow that you had. Pechol nukhir. Ki az lo yafsid et asher yisig kfar. Because that will at least keep you connected. I'll tell you a personal story that happened to me today. I was learning a particular sugya. and I was called out for a meeting. And I was in the middle of a whole cheshbon. And I knew that if I left at that point, then I'm going to have to restart the whole thing again afterwards. So I asked permission, is it okay? Can I come in about 4 minutes? They said, yeah, fine, 4 minutes is fine. And I paused there, I didn't move on, but I paused there. And outside the Gemara, I went through the whole shakl of attire of where I'd got to a couple of times. Made sure I had it clear. And then when I was walking to the meeting, again, outside of my mind, I went through the shakl of attire outside. And then once the meeting finished, I was able to go back to the Gemara, I was able to go exactly from there and carry on. And it was a flow. And I know if I wouldn't have done that, then what would have happened was I would have gone to the meeting and then been like, where was I? I was in the middle of calculating some, according to his opinion, how he answered each side, and I would have lost it. I would have to start from the beginning and go back. But if you see yourself about to like lose focus, but you pause, you say, well, let me just remain connected, let me see where I'm up to, let me take account of where I am, then you got a kinyan on it at that place. Then when you need to come back after the break, you know where you are. You've remained connected. You've ensured, you've left an anchor for yourself that you know you've remained connected. You can keep the flow going. He concludes with two more points, that what keeps you going in the high times is Hana'ah and Chidush. Hana'ah and Chidush. They're two separate things. Hana'ah doesn't mean that you wait for something pleasurable to come and notice it. Hana'ah, pleasure, the word pana'ah is pleasure. Pleasure doesn't mean you wait for something pleasurable to come your way and then notice it. But rather, pleasure is something which you decide you wish to invest in and determine that you wish to get pleasure from. I cannot emphasize this point enough. There are those types of people who wait and they say, if I enjoy it, I will feel it. And if not, then I won't. Let me see if it happens. And then they wait and they go, I learned this sugya, but it didn't do it for me. What do you mean it didn't do it for you? Well, I don't know. I learned it and I understood it, but I didn't feel this like overwhelming sense of pleasure of having learned it. So you ask, so did you decide you want to have pleasure from that sugya? What? If you decide you want, that's not how it works. Look, I'll tell you how it works. I buy an ice cream, I eat the ice cream, and I notice, oh, that's enjoyable, it tastes good. That's how pleasure works. That's not how pleasure works. That's how physical pleasure works. The pleasure of spiritual things, of ideas, works by you determining that you wish to enjoy this. And when you lay ahead of time that this is something you want to invest in and you're willing to invest in, then you can create it to be pleasurable for you. If someone, I remember very clearly, I'll finish with this story. I remember very clearly, I was once with in a shoe shop, and there was an elderly man, and and someone was trying to convince him to buy a particular shoe, and he had these really, really old shoes that he loved from, you know, the 1940s. And like, he was not willing, and his family were there trying to convince him, look, you could buy these new shoes, and always so comfortable, look at your old one. He was like, no, my shoes are good. They go, just come to the store. That's probably what happened until then, right? So I was in the store, and I see him come in, and I'm like, oh, you're happy you came? So the guy says, we need these new shoes, and he's like, I don't need new shoes. He goes, no, he wants to try new shoes. I don't want to try new shoes. He's willing to try new shoes. Anyway, he put the shoes on. He didn't feel them for a second. They're no good. But you didn't walk around. He goes, no, they're no good. He goes, no, but like walk around on them. And he walks around and goes, they're no good. And I go, okay, fine, they're no good. What can you do? That was someone where they determined already whether they wished to get pleasure or not. They weren't open for the experience. They'd already predetermined whether they wanted to be pleasurable or not to be pleasurable. Some people do that with learning. They have an experience from grade 6 where they didn't do well in learning Gemara. Right? And now Gemara's not enjoyable. It's just not enjoyable. Now someone says, are you enjoying the learning? It's geschmack. I go, yeah, it's geschmack. But in their mind, they're saying, I know Gemara is not enjoyable. I figured that out already in grade 6. Now, the truth is they've come a long way, and if they would now invest in Gemara learning, it could be they would enjoy it tremendously. But they've already said, it's no good. They've already predetermined that. So, okay, we'll go back from this point, Bez Hashem, next time we learn. But Hana'ah, pleasure, is not something that you wait for it to happen and notice. Hana'ah is something which you have to determine in your mind if you wish to seek. And if you wish to seek it, you will find it in areas that are truly pleasurable. So long as you've opened your mind in order to seek that and experience it. Yisha kolam.